Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hey, in this game, you gotta get the XP first. Then, when you get the XP, you get the Pandino! This record! I don't care.
Oh, he doesn't care anymore. Still doesn't care. So sad. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Core. This is Core, the Heroes of the Storm podcast with Scott Johnson, Bo Schwartz, and John Jagger. And we're all here to do what we do, and we're thrilled about it. And as you can see, well, I guess if you're watching live, you can see all our happy, friendly faces are here, and we're ready to bring it to you, and we're very excited about it. However, we'd be remiss if we didn't at least mention the fact that I think something happened today that was significant and more than just a normal patch. Okay, so stay with me here and I'll explain what I'm thinking. This huge patch comes out. Just about every hero, not every hero, but a lot of the hero pool has something done to them today. Some kind of tweak. Balance up, balance down. You got more life, that ability has a lower cooldown. Zip, zap, zoop, across the board. Just about everybody got something. Okay, Christmas for everyone. I think that's a sign of something. Do you guys want to know what my theory is about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's hear the theory.
Here's my theory. I think that this is the first of what will be signs that they are ironing out the entirety of the game, a little corner here, a little corner there, to be the game they want it to be. Now, I mean this in a post-HGC world. All right? They've already said they now have a more of a purity of focus and purity of direction on the game, words to that effect. And that usually means, well, okay, we're not as beholden to the lords of competitive and what's happening in tournament play and that sort of thing. We don't care. I mean, we care about what the pros think, but we don't care as much about what they think. We care about what game we want to make more than we care about that. So This is the beginning of just saying, all right, just even it out, just spreading it out, making it a little bit nice and cushy and soft for what we want to do moving forward. Now, you could say, well, Scott, this is just a normal patch, and what are you talking about? You're crazy. You're talking out of your bum. Entirely possible. I'm here to admit that I could be dead wrong on this. but I'd love to get the thoughts of the panel. Let's start with Bo Schwartz, everybody. Bo, am I smoking the crack, or am I up in the night, or am I onto something?
I like your vibe, so I want to say yes, you're onto something, but in my heart, I'm thinking, yeah, it's just another balance match.
Oh, dang it.
I like it. I don't want to poo-poo it. But it's very, this stuff is very, my initial reaction to it was like, it's little tweaks here and there. This is just the big addition.
Okay, so this isn't me.
It's the unabridged version of Game of Thrones as opposed to the abridged version.
John, do you agree? How do you feel?
It's definitely hitting a lot of heroes. So I think you're right in saying like, hey, wow, this is substantial. But I think Bo is also right in that these aren't the biggest tweaks in the whole wide world. Most of them are just, you're pretty generic, like, we noticed a lot of people are taking this talent. We now want to make this talent more enticing. And, you know, it could be that they took a look at what they had on the pipeline and said, let's put a lot of those out. You know, let's focus on getting all these done and put out. And these are some quick, easy changes that we can make. So it's kind of hard to say. I think one interesting thing that I noticed from it is across the board, almost every single one of these changes is a buff. Mm. The only exceptions are Jaina, Zeratul, Nubarak to a degree. Nubarak got buffed in some ways, but nerfed in others. And then Lieutenant Morales has the tiniest of changes that's technically a nerf, but it's so small, it feels weird to even put her on the list. Because all they did was up her safeguard cooldown by 1 second.
Oh, that is a weird...
Not exactly going to set the world on fire. I don't think there's a lot of Lieutenant Morales players out there going, oh my gosh, what'd they do?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
But other than that, it was buffs across the board to all these heroes, which is kind of that thing that we always say that isn't realistic if you're a game developer, but is realistic if you talk about games, which is don't nerf anybody, man. Just bring everybody up. this is kind of that patch that does that. Again, small things. It's not like you're going to play your old favorite and go, oh my gosh, I'm so much more powerful. Yeah. But buffs for everybody almost.
Yeah, it feels like it. And so that was kind of my thinking. And I'm probably wrong, and it's all wishful thinking, but... You know, I'm still going to have it for a little while because what I want to see come out of the ashes of that announcement and these changes is a sign that the team is like, all right, this is our game now. Back to it, guys. Let's get to the fundamentals. Like, let's go where we want to go to make this the funnest thing possible and not worry that, top of the ceiling players who are good at Genji are going to ruin HTC 2019, because there isn't one. You know what I mean?
I will say, if I was going to try and build a case against your argument, Scott,
yeah,
just to be a jerk.
Yeah, go for it.
I guess my case would be this. We have seen them make changes in the past for the high-end players. You know, they'll say it. They'll say, this is to address high-end play or professional play in their patch notes.
Yeah.
And unless I missed one in there, I don't think any of these patch notes undo anything that they've ever done for that decision.
Right. I'm looking through here now, just looking. I don't see. Go ahead.
I would think that if this was actually a, hey, we don't have HGC to worry about anymore, let's make a bunch of changes, I would think that maybe some of those might be addressed because they were there really just for that purpose to begin with. And none of those really got addressed. I don't think that guarantees it, but that would be my argument.
Okay.
It's a glass half full argument because, you know, the recent huge XP changes, the professional players laid it at the feet of casuals, right?
Yeah.
Like the whole catapult changes and the XP on forts and keeps and the levels being even, the argument was from the opposite side. So it's hard to really know when they don't put a developer note strictly explaining what they were targeting and what demographic they were targeting.
Yeah, none of this has except a couple of comments. Like, they go into some detail on Anubarak's changes. Let's see. There's another one here for Chen. Chen got some changes that are interesting. So there's a little thing there. But it feels like overall, like the table of contents here are quick navigation is heroes and bug fixes. And if you click on heroes, you get this giant list of heroes. Lots of assassins.
I counted them. 31.
31.
And that's 36% of the hero roster. So a third of the heroes got changes.
It's a lot.
It's a big part of it's a lot for players to take in, and it's a lot to keep track of.
Right, but
in some cases, though, it's like you'll probably keep playing your hero. Like the fact that Metamorphosis on Illidan grants 20 more health doesn't change anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's not like you're not going to notice it if you're really nuanced in your gameplay. You will, but it's not gonna. It doesn't do anything.
Like, check out one for Murky. Murky's spawn egg time. So the time it takes to cast his new egg has been reduced from 2 seconds to 1.5 seconds. I love that
one.
Because it's dumb. It doesn't really change anything. Like, who cares? You're already pooping it out.
Yeah, but you can make it sound bigger. You can say it's, you know, only 3/4 of the time that it was before. You know, like, these numbers are small, but sometimes they add up.
Well, I think sometimes they really like the small changes do make a big difference, but that comes out in gameplay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you can look at these and go, oh, that looks like nothing. And it's actually a big deal. The one that jumped out at me was Monk's Palm got a fairly big buff, like 20% to the Divine Palm healing, which I'm always happy for that. Like, it's not going to affect the stock market.
No,
but, you know, the Nexus stock market, where I assume they trade gems and shards. But okay, so it's maybe 10% increase, but it's still like significant, right? Like, Palm always feels like it doesn't heal quite enough for how, compared to ancestral healing, you know, that you got to time it and trick it out and be on point with that Palm.
Right.
It should heal more, I think, than an ancestral, and I still think it doesn't, but I'm happy to see it go in the right direction.
Yeah, it's inching toward that, at least. I noticed here, Zagara's got a fairly significant change, I think. Her bile drop, E, has new functionality. First of all, it increases the impact radius of infested drop by 20%. And after hitting 15 enemy heroes with infested drop, an additional roaches spawn. That's a big deal for her, isn't it?
Could be if you take the talent.
Well, it says here, at level 7. Never mind.
But I don't know what her other level 7s are off the top of my head, so...
So bile drop, I know the story on this one. Bile drop at 7 is a much maligned talent because it's a quest for hitting people with bile drop.
Yeah.
And it is hard. It is super hard to hit people with that thing. That is a hard quest to complete because it's super telegraphed. There's a little circle on the ground. And this is my impression of it dropping. And this is Varian going like, oh shit, I better stop hitting things. Let me walk out of the way for. Okay. All right, fell. Let me hit the scare. You know, like it's not like it's a maligned one. And this buff to it is like nothing.
Yeah.
Like it's, I'm sorry, it's good. And I want to be positive and reinforce it. But these are still all extremely safe changes that they've historically done for the most part. And some of them are fun. Like if your favorite hero and Anubarak has the beetle change where one of his talents is baked in, that's fun. Mm-hmm. And I think it enables a build, but I don't think it really changes, you know, it's not a dramatic change. His basic attack damage got reduced. Why?
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, I'm just like, I don't know. A lot of this stuff to me is very... It's good. It's probably work that needs to be done, or I'm sure there was a, you know, meeting about it. And the Zeratul changes, for example, like that's a prescient. He has a build that is very oppressive. So seeing that, even though there's no note there, I don't think that just immediately makes sense. A lot of this stuff might be cases like that that I'm not familiar with where it makes sense because it's been born out to be problematic, but there's nothing exciting in here, honestly.
I think there's a big question we have to ask Bo about these changes, though, because it's pretty much a question only Bo can answer. What do you think about the promise, if not the changes already, that Chen is being pushed into a bruiser role as our Chen player?
Yeah.
Where do you feel about Chen being a bruiser?
And Chen, like, Chen players are kind of the most hipster because they know Chen is bad and they know the reasons Chen is bad and they still play him anyways and they're out to prove something to the world. It's a club.
Yeah. It's a Storm Stout club. It's $5 a year.
How do I feel about him being a bruiser? I mean, I'm just happy to see him. He's just fun to play. I like drinking and trolling with him. So if they can make him playable or acceptable to play it, honestly, I'd prefer to have more situations other than Bruiser in which to play him.
Yeah.
Not that I understand that his kit, it would require fundamental changes to the way he plays, I think, to make him an effective tank. I think staying there doing nothing is just,
yeah,
is not the best design, and that's part of his appeal. So I guess Bruiser it is, have him do damage. The one thing they did mention is that he's one of those heroes that can either be insanely overpowered or insanely underpowered based on the amount of stun you're facing. And that certainly is the case with them. I think he's in the place he is for a reason, so I'm happy to see it. But at the same time, if everyone starts playing Chen, then there's no exclusive club. And yeah, I think that's what the people who want Chen buffs need to realize, is that you like playing a hard hero that's unpopular because it's part of your identity. Sure. So if they just take it away, then Chen's just burden now, you know, so...
Well, I like this idea that a lot of the Chen players are just there because nobody else is there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd think someone who likes to play Chen, if you told them there's a world in a week, I had scryed into the future and HGC came back and literally the tank on every team was Chen because they changed him so fundamentally that he was the tank. Chen players would stop playing Chen.
Yeah, because that's the point, is that he's this weird out. He's an outlier. He's this weird thing. I've always sensed that.
Pick him, he'd be banned, and
yeah, that sucks. Nobody wants that.
See, you all say that, but this mentality, this concept, is so alien and foreign to me. Like, I hear that, and I think that's insane.
Well, it should sound insane. I think, like, I think it kind of is insane, but then again, I kind of understand it. It's kind of like, it's when your favorite character in Ferris Bueller's Day Off is Cameron, or what's a better example?
You know, what I got one Darth that Vader actually applies to me, because this happened to me. The Walking Dead took off as a TV show, but as somebody who read the comics, I got very much in the, I liked the comic better, you know. I got to be that guy.
Yeah that's a good way of putting it. I mean, it's a similar thing.
Yeah, for I think that's fair. Yeah. I noticed Deckard. It feels like Deckard's stuff got just reset to what he was before everybody freaked out about how good he was in pro play. So, John, he's the one character on this list I feel like maybe goes against what you were saying. Because almost all that, well, I don't have the comparison numbers, but all that stuff brings him kind of back close to where he was before he got those nerfs. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember what the original numbers were either, but you're right.
Yeah. It's somewhere in that neighborhood. Now, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't have the mirror, so I can't say for sure, but it feels like he's, and I can't point to Deckard and go, ah, proof positive, the entire roster is being laid out in such a way that, blah, 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 to support my, you know, original thesis. But I've just been thinking a lot about it, you know, thinking about what they're going to do. What does this mean when they say purity of focus? What does it mean when they say, ah, the team is feeling almost exhilarated to look at the game in a new way? Like, I want to start to see the fruits of that. So it's going to be easier for me to sort of see something that may not even be there yet, because that's where my head's at. And I will admit that 100% in front of everybody. All right.
I think we're all in a holding pattern still from December. Like, we're now end of January. Mm-hmm. And we didn't do a show last week, but we've been playing every week and enjoying ourselves. Like, there's been no change to the fun that I've been having playing Heroes. And after a period of time, I did start logging in and putting in a lot of games the past 2 weeks, just playing quick match and having a good time. But psychologically, I think you're nailing the idea that there's a holding pattern. We're holding our breath. We're waiting to see, just as you said, what does the future for this game look like?
Right.
And you know, I don't think we want to get together and do the show every week and have bad things to say or feel negative, because that's not fun. But, you know, there are concerns.
Yeah, and we want to know.
You know, and that's I think that's part of it. I mean, looking at this, I want to say hey, it's great. There's signs of life, but at the same time, I'm like, eh, this is routine. This is pretty, even though it's a big patch. I don't know. It's not it.
This isn't it for you. Okay. This isn't it. Well, fair enough. It's in full glorious detail if you want to look at all these non-important changes in the game.
I got one more, though, for John, in case we missed it. We didn't cheer for him, but every time there's an Artanis buff, his face prism cooldown reduced by 2 seconds from 14 to 12.
Darn right.
You know, not the most exciting thing, but 2 seconds off the abilities of one of your favorite characters, that's a victory.
Yeah, and the mana reduction is pretty big as well, because he is oddly, and they've done some rolling back on the mana for him already, but he is oddly mana dependent. You know, it's pretty easy to run out. You tend to be pretty active with all of his abilities. So, you know, I think it was good. They're trying to get you to take reactive parry, which is okay, but it's still up against a really good level one with amateur opponent. So I don't know about that, but mana reduction and a cooldown reduction for phase prism is all right by me.
See, I think John and the demographic of player types, because we talked about the hipster choosers of heroes, I feel like John is like a husband player. Like, he's just like, I like Sylvanas. I like Artana. And they're just like, they're his. You know?
Right. Yeah, no, that's
true. Yeah, I did kind of claim Artanis. But sometimes my great loves fall by the wayside. You know, Hasadar was my gateway drug into this game. And I kind of dropped off him when he stopped being a mage. Then it was Sylvanas for a long time. And I actually have put very little time into new Sylvanas because she's just so different. I haven't gotten my head around her yet. But Artanis has remained a stalwart champion ever since he arrived.
Yeah, you love him.
Yeah, I do.
What'd you call the parry? You had a word for the parry? What'd you call it? Reactive parry?
Reactive parry.
He was my favorite character on Scrubs. I just loved him on there. It was good. Old reactive parry. Oh, man. Yeah. Just really made that show worth tuning into every single week. It was must-see TV, really, at the end of the day.
I like Dr. Cox.
Me too. He's
would
great.
Have never guessed that, Bo.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Wouldn't have been my guess. The guy with the goofy name.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Perry Cox. Yeah. Dr. Reactive Perry Cox.
Yeah, Dr. Reactive Perry Cox.
We're talking about the same guy.
Yeah, okay. Same dude. Same man. Same guy, but mine's more reactive. Yours is more a professional with a bad name. All right. Well, there you go. There's all that stuff. Good job. Barco Polo's out. Isn't he the one with the cone?
Yeah.
Okay. So the dog with the cone, which is what I got right now. I have a dog with a cone because she had an operation. Although she's not really licking anything now, so I think we're taking it off tonight. But anyway, he's out. Is it a he or is it a she?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if they did a Red Dead and went that in depth on the dog.
It may not matter. I mean, it's a freaking dog and who cares? But Marco, it's the Marco part. Oh, Barco. So I don't know. Whatever. I named a female dog Jim Raynor, so what do I know? I shouldn't be allowed to do this.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, man, that if they hired that guy, he'd have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of mounts in this game.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to go through and pick a gender for all our mounts and make sure it's on prominent display.
Oh, it's a bad idea. He's 10K in gold, by the way. If you got the gold, that's your deal. I actually do have the gold, and I'm considering it.
You should. This is a sweet... I don't know. It's weird because it's like a Maltese dog, but you're gonna ride it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have mount fatigue yet, though?
A little.
Because I feel like I have a 300 mounts, but only wear one when I play my matches. You know, like.
Yeah, you can't swap them out. You know, what'd be really cool is if the game featured a random. This is the wrong time in the game's life cycle to be asking for such a feature. I realize that, but this would be a cool feature if they could fit it in. When you die. You can set this before the game, but you start the game with a random mount from your pool, and when you die, you come back in the Nexus with a different mount, and that's true every time that you're dead or that you've otherwise gone back to the Nexus. That would be a cool thing.
The WoW add-on that you could do that with.
Yeah,
World of Warcraft.
Actually, I think the game even I think WoW supports that functionality inherently now. They have a little
Oh, yeah, it might be just a thing now. Yeah. But it was a mod at one point.
Yeah, they like to do that. They like to take good mods, rip off the functionality, and then that mod maker has to take a hike. They love doing that to those guys.
Well, you know.
You all with your chaos alignment over there. I always pick whatever matches my skin best. I'm like, well, it matches the skin. I got to go on this.
Well, I'm with you.
I like the random mount.
Yeah.
Because it's true in Warcraft where I'm like, what mount do I want? I paid money for some of these. I'm like, I want to experience them all. Random mount.
Yeah, I sometimes am in that mood, but most of the time I'm like, John, I want to match them up. But I like the option. I like knowing it's there. And in this game in particular, I would really like to do this because it just would add some variety. And the fact that we, like Bo says, we got all these mounts. I've forgotten half the ones I have, and I don't know if they're mechanical or animal or what the crap. Like, I got to go search for them. So after some time, it's just like, well, you're always on a goblin. I think you like that crow or that, that crow really good. So just sit on him. And once in a while, if I pull out Thrall and he's got his freaking elemental burning skin on or whatever, I'll have one of those burning mounts that match it or something. So I have some kind of presets, but I don't know. I feel like there's stuff in my mount pool that I'll never even get to. And yeah, so I am having some of that fatigue, but I really like this dog. And I just think maybe I'm not spending money on rerolls anymore, so maybe I should just spend it on the dog, you know?
Plus, that dog looks like he's been through some business. Yeah. Like, he deserves a good home.
Yeah, that's true. It's not very aerodynamic, though. Just want to point that out. A cone tends to stop the air.
He'd probably be really fast if it wasn't for the cone. Yeah. He's running at full speed.
It's too bad you couldn't use him to catch a pyroblast.
Yeah, right? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, just cone that thing up.
Lift up the cone and be like, ah! So you can just take it in the face for you.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Also,
I thought you meant pull the cone off the dog. You just let that dog get hit in the face.
No, you don't. No, there's no time for that. You just lift up his head and put the pyroblast in the cup and let him catch it. And his face would be like, he won't even panic. He'll just be, you know, just let him catch the pyroblast in it.
Poor dog. Feel bad for him now. Also,
he's a Nexus. He'll respawn. It's okay.
That's two cones in the game. Got cone that, and you got cone of cold.
And then got nerfed.
And Deckard Cain should have a cone of old, but he doesn't have it.
Wow, Scott.
is this a cone of old?
I want him to have cone of old.
What does it do?
I don't know. I'm lost. Where's the middle lane? I don't know what it does. It doesn't have a really good effect, probably.
It asks people in a conal direction in front of them how to work the TV.
How to get the VCR to stop blinking 12 midnight.
It seems the desktop on my computer is upside down. How did this happen?
What happened? I kind of love that. Anyway.
That's an actual story from a tech support call I had to do for my grandpa.
Oh, my Lord, really?
Yeah, I got my desktop's upside down. Mm. What? Mm. How did you do that?
Yeah,
I don't know.
And what'd you find out in the end? What happened?
I don't know. I still don't know how he did it. It was upside down, though.
I don't get that at all.
I thought maybe he just drug the start bar up to the top and was like, oh, it's upside down because the start bar is up here. No,
it's in your display options.
It was upside down.
It's in your display options when you set landscape or portrait mode.
You can have it go upside down?
Because I used to have a monitor that I could turn lengthwise. Sometimes you see it in game development behind the scenes videos where they have their monitors lengthwise.
Yeah.
So there's a display option where you can actually switch it for a portrait display.
Yeah, I had one for when I was doing
upside down for some reason.
Yeah,
which is in there.
Programmers and graphic artists and stuff sometimes will do that because they like to have a big long view of their code, and so that makes sense. But so maybe he got in there and fiddled about with his orientation settings. Or
yeah, actually, chat room is saying there is a keyboard shortcut, so I'm sure he push too many keys at once.
Control Alt and an arrow key. I gotta try this.
Yeah, me too.
Hold on, it's my machine here.
It did something to Discord. Weird. Hang on.
That didn't do anything for me. It's fine.
Is it Alt F4?
It didn't do anything.
F4.
It did nothing. Just
everybody Alt F4, and that'll do anything.
Control up arrow. Just control. No. Unless you have to enable it.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, that's an awesome story, though. I love that. I had a guy. I used to do a weekend radio show on an AM station here in town, and It was like call-in computer show tech stuff. And this was back in like 03 or something. And we had a guy call or a lady call in that said that her little kid had jammed a Pop-Tart in the floppy drive, 3.5-inch floppy drive. Just crammed one in there. Just and she was like, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to make it work. I'm like, dude, I don't know either.
It's done.
Take it out and buy another one? I don't know. Like, you got a Pop-Tart in there now. It's not going to read anything. A Pop-Tart doesn't just slide back out either. This thing was like all inside. Blech. It's bad.
Is it possible to recover from a Pop-Tart cramming?
No, you'd have to replace the drive.
You can't vacuum it out or something, like, or air.
Maybe. Oh, air hose it, maybe.
Andy Dufresne never recovered from a Pop-Tart cramming.
I wish I could say he did, but he didn't. Anyway, hey, the grassroots tournaments are heating up, you guys. Big first wave of stuff. We talked about a few of those, little smaller ones and stuff coming around. But now we have the European Competitive Tournament Division S by Heroes Lounge. It's at 15 grand of their 20 grand total that they're working toward. Going to be casted by Kaldor. That's cool. There you go. What do we think of that one? Woo!
Well, we don't know what to think yet because it hasn't happened. But as part of this whole thing, we can, you know, if you want to look for signs of life to be positive about the game, we can look to the community. And right now there are a few major events going on that, if you're into watching competitive heroes, still exists out there for people. So Kaldor is behind this, and he's a beloved caster in the scene and someone who's very passionate about heroes. And I think Heroes Lounge has been around for a while as a European, just, I don't want to say rec league, but they've had, you know, this is, they're not new, but I haven't really followed them prior to this.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is a crowdfunded prize pool. I mean, that's $15,000 in viewer money. That's not coming from a sponsor, coming from anywhere else. It's $15,000
yeah, it's in all viewer money,
which
yeah.
I think is pretty significant. Yeah, so, I mean, that's shaping up to be exciting. If you're itching for some HGC level action, there are some former pro players that are on teams or coaching teams. So hopefully this is it. I mean, this is one of the two major North American European events that's coming up relatively soon. And it's something to look forward to. So, you know, if you weren't made aware of this, but you're listening to our show and interested or looking forward to watching some competitive, this is one of the things to watch.
Yeah.
Watch for it. Now, I don't know if they've announced the exact dates. There's qualifiers happening, I guess, in January. I don't know if those will be casted. They'll be played beginning of February, so I imagine the actual tournament we'll hear about soon. I don't see dates on that, but
no, that's great. And the fact that this crowdfunding is like a little mini international going on, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
because that's all that is. That's just Valve having people buy stuff and then pooling the money.
And so, it looks like you're still able to contribute. So if this is the first you're hearing about it and that strikes your fancy, you can go there and contribute to it. They did say that, you know, like we said, Kaldor's part of it, but their description says potentially others. So Kaldor is the one who's attached to it right now, but could be other casters as well. We'll see.
It's very cool. I'm
excited for it.
Yeah, me too. You also should be excited about this. Heroes Hearth partnering with Tempo Storm to create Toasty and Gladman Heroes Invitational. Who's Toasty and Gladman?
No idea. This is
illegal in at least 7 states.
Toasty. I assume these are people that I should maybe know.
I don't know. Like, I don't think they explain. They must be, right? I mean, it's so weird. It sounds like, I guess John said it, like a legal firm.
Yeah, Toasty.
Well, no, I didn't think that. I thought it was. It sounds like, yeah, yesterday. Won't tell anybody, but I got the old Toasty and Gladman back behind the.
Yeah,
CBS.
I mean, I don't want to poo-poo it. I'm excited that we're. So it's a partner. Hang on, I missed the joke because I was
no, because CVS. I don't know if you guys even have those up there, but CVS is like a drugstore kind of thing that's everywhere.
Oh,
here.
Right.
It's kind of like you guys near Blaine Richard Center. What's it called?
Up here, we have two names for it. One of them is Shoppers Drug Mart.
Okay.
And it's a big chain. And the other one in Quebec, it's Pharmaprix or Pharmaprix.
Pharmaprix?
Pharmaprix is a great name.
Pharmaprix. Oh. But his price, prix, is spelled P-R-I-X.
That's prix.
So in English, it just looks like Pharmaprix.
What an unfortunate thing for a company who does pharmaceutical distribution. Yeah. Right? Pharmaprix?
Pharmaprix.
That's awful.
Pharmaprix.
Oh, my Lord.
There's a lot of ways you could read that. But in French, it just means pharma price.
Yeah. Well, the French, we could talk, but we won't. Well, anyway, the law firm of Toasty and Gladman Heroes Invitational will begin soon. This will apparently feature top NA talents. And from Temple Storm, the Toasty and Gladman Heroes Invitational is considered a pilot with potential to develop into a tournament series depending on the event's success. The tournament will span 2 days and follow a single elimination format. The prize pool starts at $5,000 with additional prizing possible. I don't think prizing is a word, but whatever. Possible through crowdfunding and either and or additional sponsorship. Temple Storm and Heroes Hearth are still finalizing the 8 invited teams and will announce them as soon as all teams have committed. So they got that going on, which is
I'll
nice.
Tell you what I really like about this one is it's kind of bite size. Like, it's not... Like, if I'm being honest as to why at a certain point I personally fell off of HGC, was it was every weekend for so many hours, every single weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exciting when I didn't have anything to do, but then I was kind of just jumping in the middle and going, oh, yay, Heroes is on. And it was nice, but it also didn't make me appreciate it. This is the kind of thing where if somebody says, hey, Toasty and Gladman are getting together to put on a Heroes Invitational.
They got
to
fix that name. I'm saying it. I'm sorry. My name's got to go.
Does it? Is it bad or is it perfect?
I heard you say it in a serious context, and I'm like, we can't call it this.
Yeah.
Toasty and Gladman, it sounds like, you know, I just call it Benson and Hedges. Like, it's just like, what? It just doesn't sound right. I'm sorry.
No, I get it.
Toasty and Gladman.
I get it. I don't think you're wrong. I think you've.
I need to know that it's two people and that they didn't just land on these names.
I think Toasty's got to go.
How does Heroes make you feel? A little bit toasty and a little bit glad, man.
Feeling pretty glad, man.
Sorry, I interrupted your thought. I'm sorry.
I don't remember.
But anyway, saying it's going to take place over 2 days, you know, that's something where I can be like, oh, yeah, let's enjoy some competitive Heroes for these 2 days. That'd be great. Yes, let's get into it. I could use a little Toasty and Gladman in my life right now, and then I get it.
Yeah.
And so yeah. I think that's good.
All right.
I agree with you. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do, because perfect agreement. I very much took HGC viewing. I mean, not for granted, but I was very busy and I always felt like, well, I've got time. There's stuff later, et cetera, et cetera. So knowing there's a limited run event intrigues me. And yeah. Will likely make me set aside time to watch it.
And when you know that the other, you know, the proper HGC thing is not there anymore, it does make me, well, yeah, I'm just more alert to it now than I was before. I did take that for granted. I took for granted this idea that Blizzard, no matter what they were doing, no matter what game it was, had an esports focus from here on out. And so that just was going to be a thing they would do, and it would always be there. You know, they still drag it out for StarCraft, so of course they'll do that for Heroes forever and ever, and then realized, oh, no, there is no forever if it's not paying for itself. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what these guys do. China's Gold Series will continue also into 2019. I'm not super familiar with the Gold Series, but...
It's basically HGC, but in China.
Yeah, because they still want to play video games. They like those over there.
My understanding of the way China works is that, like, it was partnered, like the China edition of HGC. So the fact that HGC is canceled doesn't affect their infrastructure over there.
Oh, okay.
Because it was like a partnership thing. It might even be NetEase that was organizing it. So they're just like, yeah, we can keep doing it.
Yeah, that sounds like, right. Because NetEase does
we have
the,
all the money in the world.
Right. I mean, NetEase has an arrangement with Warcraft that's similar. Well, it's not, I guess it's not the same, but I mean, they're kind of the networking partner over there. So if they already had stuff arranged and they were already part of that in some financial way, probably didn't change anything other than, I guess, at the end of it all, they're not going to face off against NA or EU teams.
So, no, there's no grand finals or grand tournament, right. But they can still have their China only thing.
Yeah,
but I imagine if there's interest in it, and some casters might be able to pick up the VODs and cast it in a regional language. You know, if it's high level play, it's still going to be interesting to watch for us outside of China.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. I hope they do an American or an English stream of that, if they're going to stream a bunch of those games. Because I would watch those gold games because I think they're the best players on the planet. What are the Koreans doing? Are they doing anything?
No news from Korea.
Okay.
That I've heard.
All right.
Koreans are like, we're out.
We're done.
No money. We're out. We're actually worth, our time's worth something when we play games.
Yeah.
We make money off this. We're Korea. Thanks.
Yeah. We're Korea. We make money.
I have no doubt there are people still playing there, though. But I just don't have the news.
Sure. Well, if you guys have any knowledge or are planning any kind of grassroots events, let us know. We'd be happy to pimp them on the show here and talk about them. I like all that energy. So more of that, please. Because I think that's how this stuff can, you know, I don't know. The game could go some really interesting places if this stuff takes off on a grassroots level. So we've talked about that at length before. We don't need to again, but I like the idea a lot. And you can always email us right here on the show. At what is our damn email? core@heroesforyou.com. That's it. core@heroesforyou.com. Oh, and also we're taking voicemails now, so pretty much every show on the network is. So if you have a specific question, thought, comment, keep them short and interesting for the show, and you want to do it in just a quick phone call and leave a voicemail and have us play it on the show, you can do that. I'm explaining how voicemail works. Here's the number. 801-471-0462. That's easy. Just write it down, put it in your phone, 801-471-0462, and we'll take any and all comers who may have a voicemail for us now or in the future.
I just want to say that if you guys missed it, Scott casted Cone of Old.
Yeah, I did. It's very much Cone of Old.
Voicemail works.
Voicemail.
How does it work?
You dial a number. And then you'll hear a message after a beep. You speak until you hang up. Later, others will listen to the message.
I can hear him.
And be able to call you back or answer your question.
Decker Kane answering questions about technology would be my favorite TED Talk of all time. I would listen to it, watch it on repeat. That'd be amazing.
About machine learning?
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you about the ham radio.
Yeah, he's the best. Hold on, I got to answer this question. Okay. sorry, no. Sorry. I got an email that was super critical, but now I've answered it.
Okay.
Hey,
I'm gonna guess it was FU.
It wasn't that. It was a series of letters and numbers, and it's all good now. Hey, don't forget to check us out this weekend on another episode of There Will Be Dungeons at therewillbedungeons.com. That's TWBD for short. We play Dungeons & Dragons. Bo is our DM. Myself, Kyle, Kristen, and John are all in there having a blast. And there's some real great stuff going on right now. So if you are into it, check it out. We do a little role playing. We have a lot of fun. We laugh. We never cry, but maybe we will one day. I don't know. But we
Dungeons and Dragons is a game played by rolling dice.
And where? Roly-roly numbers in England.
Roly-roly numbers.
I kind of hope one day you cry, but not in a bad way.
Sure. Movie. I get it.
Actually, I almost wanted to cry watching Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, isn't it great?
And I don't want to spoil it in case anyone here hasn't watched it, but if you haven't watched it, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Go now.
Go watch. Like, seriously, it sounds dumb. The movie premise sounds like the dumbest thing you've ever heard, and it's the complete opposite, which makes it great.
Yeah. It's amazing, and you should see it. And I don't know why it even took you so long to see it. Why did it take
Spider-Man
you so long?
Spider-Man doing
it?
Great things right now.
Yeah.
I coordinated with some friends. I got to see it with friends, which also a great movie to watch with friends. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I just say, I need to just read this comment from the chat because I'm not 100% sure what it means. But in reference to There Will Be Dungeons, the chat says, tons of boy humor last time.
Boy humor? What?
I don't know what that means, but I think it's a compliment. I think
maybe he means body humor. It's missing the
that's D. Every episode, though. Right? So.
What's he mean?
The porn in the library.
Porn in the library.
What's the
Scott?
Boy humor though? I don't
boy
get it.
Boy humor.
Boy humor.
Girls like porn too.
Poe's taking a strong stance here.
Oh man. All right. Well, I don't. Oh, it's a she. Oh, was there a lot of boy? Did it feel like boy humor? Dude, there's boy humor in every episode.
Well, one of Nash's defining characteristics is literally his boy parts. So.
Oh yeah, that's what they're talking about.
It's unavoidable at times.
And if you haven't heard the episode he was referring to, you got to go back. There's context there.
She, I think you keep calling her a he.
She, if you want, if you, hey, she lady, if you want to go back, if you want to go back
again.
And get the origins,
Cold Cold is back. It's been cast again.
Oh, they reduced the cooldown. This is great. I can cast him more often. You got to go listen to the episode where all that stuff went down and the plant, all that plant stuff and everything. If you haven't heard that, this is the last week's episode makes no sense. So you got to go hear that. All right.
Oh,
if I can't see
lady.
Your face, I assume you're a boy.
He's talking about the she lady.
I know, but I can't see your face. I assume you're a boy is a great Cone of Old line. It's really good. Oh my gosh, this is great. All right. Amazing stuff. Thank you guys. Check it out. ThereWillBeDungeons.com for more information. Hey, hey, time for this. All right, let's take a look at an email we got from a listener. This is from Jason or Tikuyanyin. How would you say that name?
Tikuyanyin. Tikuyanyin.
Tackle your onion. Got it.
Tikuyanyin. Tikuyanyin.
Tikuyanyin. All right, fair enough.
Tikuyanyin.
He says this. I know you guys have beat the dead horse, that is Heroes 2.0 store and the gem system. At first, I agree with you guys that I wasn't buying anything from the store because of the gems. But the more I thought about it, I realized the reason I'm not buying things isn't really because of the cumbersome gems. It's because there just hasn't been anything of interest in the store to spend real money on. There are many mounts in the game that I really don't want or need or care for, at least not enough to spend real money on them. I always seem to have just enough gold to buy characters, so no need for real money there either. I didn't buy the stim or boost because XP doesn't really matter, and I really get plenty of gold. Also, as Garrett and Kyle pointed out on their show, it felt too expensive, even with the holiday sale. And lastly, there hasn't been any amazing skins that I couldn't just get from loot boxes or shards. The last time I honestly spent money in the game was pre-2.0 to get Mecha Transformer, Tassadar skin, and Angel skin for Vala. I want to support heroes and buy things, but there just doesn't seem to be anything worth spending money on. Please tell me if I'm crazy here or if this is perhaps some of what you guys might actually be experiencing within the store. Jason. I actually think Jason has a point. It isn't to say that there isn't cool stuff in there. There absolutely is. But not a lot of it drives me to just throw money at it. The way...
I agree with that.
And I don't know why. Like, people do this in Dota. They throw money at that stuff, at cosmetics in Dota. They throw money at loot boxes and Overwatch like crazy. The other gigantic multi-billion dollar proof is a game like Fortnite where people are just shoveling money at it so they can get the latest dumb looking helmet or skin or whatever. Yeah. So I don't know why
a certain percentage of your player base in these free to play games are going to be sick people who compulsively buy things. And the more popular and happening your spot is, the more of those you have.
Yeah.
And you know, if you go to a call out nightclub and there's like three people there and you know, you're less likely to make it the time of your life and maybe buy a lot to drink and buy rounds for your friends versus, you know, a packed place that's super happening and you're having the time of your life. Like all these free to play services reminds me of events like that, like happening places. So if the place isn't happening, I think also your willingness to spend is like, well, this isn't a special occasion. Mm. I don't feel like buying because I'm not enticed to. Mm. And so I think that's part of it.
Okay.
If everyone in the world, I said it last, we did it last episode. If everyone in the world wanted to play Heroes of the Storm, Blizzard could charge you a kick in the nuts on top of $20 for everything because people were just nuts for it.
Right.
Like the stuff in Dota and Fortnite is not that much more special than anything in Heroes. Like, the Heroes does a good job. They have cool stuff in Fortnite. If you want to objectively measure which is more value or which is more artistically cooler, probably one comes out on top over the other. But a lot of it has to do with the perceived atmosphere around the game. Because I agree, I kind of buy it just because I'm into it and I want to support the game. But I haven't bought anything I'm really excited for since MechaStorm. Mm. I've spent a lot in the game. But if I the spending that made me feel like, oh, yeah, I want to give this money away. Mm. That was Orphea. I was excited about Orphea and MechaStorm.
Yeah, I think that's you make a point. It's also a percentage thing. I'm guessing if we don't know what Blizzard makes on Heroes and they don't say, but I'll bet the percentage of people who buy skins and stuff and get all jazzed about that stuff isn't that different than it is for other games that sell those sorts of things. It's probably the same percentage for TF2 as it is for Overwatch, as it is for Dota, as it is for League, as it is for whatever. I think the difference is if the player base isn't as big as, say, something like Dota, it's never going to be enough. So, like, here's my point. If only 10% of the people spend money in that store every week, that's probably also what Fortnite is getting. It's just that Fortnite has 300 million players or whatever it is, and 10% of that is an enormous amount of money being transacted. And yeah. if it's just thousands of people playing Heroes, that's a much, much smaller percentage of people. I mean, it's the same percentage, but it's a much smaller number of people spending money, therefore the amount of money is lower. So I don't know for sure, but I get that feeling.
I have a friend who is all in on Fortnite. He gets the pass. He obsesses over it. It's what he is into. And he buys a ton of the skins and stuff like that. And he and I would always talk about our respective games, because I don't really play Fortnite. And he would look at what they were adding to Heroes, and he would constantly say this. He would go, I wish Fortnite got cool stuff like what you guys get.
Yeah.
Like, here's literally a person looking at the Heroes stuff, the stuff that we, you know, somewhat take for granted, going, this is way cooler than the stuff in Fortnite.
Yeah.
Doesn't make him play Heroes, doesn't make him switch games. He's sitting there going, oh, that stuff is so much cooler. I wish they'd put cool stuff like that in my game. And so I think there's an element where you're right. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who just buy it because that's the game they're playing. That's what they're into. And they're going to throw money at it. You know, I saw Fortnite toys the other day at a Barnes and Noble. And it amazed me that it took this long to get to that point, because right now it feels like, if you stick Fortnite on something, you will make a lot of money.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. It took longer than I thought it would. I thought that we would see that the jump to retail much quicker. We'd see Pop Toys every 5 feet.
Like, I mean, there's gonna be a feature film at some point, right?
Is there?
Oh, there's an Angry Birds film. There's gonna be a Fortnite film.
Do we
just brace your, put your diaper on now, get ready for it.
Nonstop. That's where the trailer ends. It just comes back up to somebody doing the floss.
I feel like I want to just jump out right now and say, I think that's an awful idea and they better not do it.
Well, sure.
If they're really smart, they wouldn't do a movie. They do a Netflix series.
Yeah.
That way they can have multiple games and scenarios that people want to see.
Yeah.
I agree with everything you said. I think also Heroes perception, those of us who play the game but don't feel enough incentive to open up the wallet are affected by the conversation happening around Heroes since its launch.
Mm.
I know I'm not going to play Artifact because of all the stuff being said about it. And that's not, you know, you don't judge a book by its cover. You want to have an appropriate opinion, buy it, play it. And I probably won't, whether it's warranted or not, because of what I've heard about it. And that's what, you know, we're biased because we like Heroes, but that's what people hear about Heroes. And that affects us who play the game. It affects us.
Yeah.
Because we know, it's like if you think everyone thinks you're ugly, that affects you on some level, even if you're not.
Even if you're not ugly, right? Even if you're not ugly,
so you're less likely to spend clothes on you. You don't want to open up your wallet for expenses because you just feel like you're not worth it, and you have, you know, that psychological issue. I think that tightens up our wallets, even if we're super into Heroes of the Storm, because I'm like, why am I spending money here?
Yeah.
But because we're willing to spend money. I know. I never told you about my $20 gun, did I?
No.
And this is how bad it is. In PlanetSide 2, when that launched, I was really stoked. I thought, oh man, this game is going to, they're talking about esports. Smedley's up there with these big plans. And I was willing to spend. Let's give that company some money. They made PlanetSide 2. They actually did it. Give them money. And then at one point, I was playing with a friend, Crofton, who I sometimes mention.
Yeah.
And I was like, uh-oh. And I bought a $20 golden version of a gun. It was the first one on there. And he makes fun of me to this day. He's like, why would you spend $20 on a gun that is gold?
Yeah.
It's literally, you have the gun already. It's just gold. And I'm like, I want, when I kill people, to see that I've got the golden gun and be like, oh, that rich bastard, you know, and get mad about it. Like, it's a stupid thing to buy. But
would you say, because I think this would be a fun thing to go around the horn on, would you say that is your dumbest video game purchase? The one that you have the most regret about?
And it's what the one is, I was made fun of the most. It's the one I was made fun of the most. The worst video game purchase I ever made was Duke Nukem Forever on pre-order, I think. Before Steam refunds. I think I'm the most upset about that one.
Yeah,
was like
that
$80.
Was
it was bad.
That was a wasted birthday present for me. I think somebody got it for me for my birthday, and I was like, oh, I wish I could have a better birthday present.
And that was before Steam refunds.
I'll tell you what mine is. I'm looking at it right now because I haven't played it since 13, and I don't know if I ever will again, but I was so in love with Ultima Underworld back in the way old
90s. Oh my 90s. God. Wow. Yeah.
I love that game so much. And then when I found out some of the original designers and developers were making a proper spiritual sequel to this thing called Underworld Ascendant, I was so all over it that I pre-ordered it. I threw that money down and said, they can't screw this up. It'll be the greatest thing. It'll be amazing. I cannot wait to bring that back to life. It'll be this great, great new RPG experience. I miss that game so much. It's a busted pile of mess. And it was $25. I mean, it's not a very expensive game, but it's $25 down the turlet. I usually don't make bad game decisions. Like, typically, I'm pretty good about it. I'm smart about it. I listen to lots of sources, reviewers, but also only ones I trust, friends I trust. Like, I'm just real careful leading up to something. Sometimes something will feel like a sure deal and I won't worry about it. And most of the time I'm right. But that one, just what a bummer, dude. And that was just that back in December. Like, lame.
It's just, you feel cheated, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, and there's no return unless you use Steam, and I didn't use Steam.
And it's your goodwill, because you're just like, I'm giving my goodwill, my belief to this company, and to be betrayed, so.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly, but I have no one to blame, feels bad.
Yeah, I don't like
mine
it.
Mine is, I bought the lifetime subscription to Star Trek Online.
Oh my. Give this man the medal.
$250 or something, isn't it? Wasn't it?
I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
What was it called?
I loved the beta so much.
Yeah.
I was in the beta and I played a ton of that game. And it came out, I think it was right around the time Mass Effect 2 had come out. Or was about to come out. I don't remember the exact time frame on that. And I was just all in on space games and all of that. And I had such a good time. I thought, geez, this thing's going to pay for itself. And it turns out I burned myself out in the beta. And then the actual game came out and it was time to start over. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do this again.
$300 US.
Oh my gosh, that's expensive. Right. They don't do it anymore, I don't think, do they? They still sell it?
No, it's free to play now.
Oh, that's right.
Badoom.
Okay, I do think you win. Now, somebody in the chat pointed out that I boosted a level 108 character in WoW while I was having a fever. I had a horrible fever this summer and did a big mistake, but I didn't pay for that one, unless you count that it just came with my expansion price.
I mean, you paid for the expansion too, so it's not like you gave away a whole game.
Right.
Yeah. Or you didn't just buy it and do two levels for 60.
No, gosh, no. It was my built-in one, which is only a problem because I did get an additional boost for an alliance character, and what I should have done is not done the 108 thing and just use that for my alliance character. But
yeah. So, but you know what? I relate because my boost I got with Battle for Azeroth, I used on a level, what's the cap now? 120?
120 now, yeah.
I used it on a 110.
Oh, jeez. You're just so like, I don't want to see this content.
I played a ton of Legion. I didn't want to go to Legion for a day or two and just whack at things. I was like, all right, just give me Battle for Azeroth, please. And so I just did it. So I wouldn't feel too bad, at least. I'll join you in the feel bad camp. How about that?
You know what? If I ever go back to Star Trek Online, and I've heard there's some cool stuff in there now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be sitting pretty. When the Fox says it right, you get a ton of benefits in Star Trek Online for lifetime subscriptions. That's right. I do.
You should go in there and check it. You should look in it.
I should. I should do another look at it. I get to play a some kind of Borg, like a recovered Borg, a freed Borg.
Hugh. You get to play Hugh. Yeah.
Hugh.
Yeah. I get to basically play Hugh, everybody's favorite Star Trek character.
I like how you didn't say 6 of 9, the cool one. No. But Hugh.
It's 7 of 9.
7 of 9.
No, it's 6 of 9 was a different character.
Yeah,
right. 6 of 9
would
probably
be the porn version of Star Trek Voyager. It's very different.
Yeah, the 6 of 9 is a real, real steamer.
I like how there's people in the chat room who not only know it's you leveled a 108, but it was 108.7.
Yeah, it was. It was well on its way to 9.
I was that just like the Zeno really
pushes it over the edge.
It's like your conscience speaking.
Well,
like,
and the other, someone might say, "Oh, well, that's okay because at least you played it." No, I didn't even do that. I leveled it, or I boosted it, drove him out to Zoldazar, and sat his ass down by the thing and logged in as my hunter. I never touched that guy. He's still sitting there, hasn't started any BFA.
Well, there you go. It doesn't. If you're not even gonna play it, then it doesn't even matter.
Bums me out though. It is $60 I could have saved, but whatever. Hey, people make mistakes.
I can't believe with you two that there isn't a worse. I can't believe how far I am on the spectrum of bad by comparison.
Well, $300 on a game is a big ass.
Yeah,
I was younger. I didn't have as many expenses in my life.
I can relate to it.
Saving.
I can relate to it because at that time we were all thinking, oh, something's definitely going to come along and knock Warcraft down. And the opposite has happened.
We kept
a lot of us were betting. A lot of us were betting otherwise. I'm like, how long can this game really be popular? Turns out I'll probably die before those servers shut down and before people stop playing it at this rate, I think.
Jeez, John, that was 9 years ago, by the way, that you did that. 9 years of Star Trek Online.
Were you making a lot of money back then? Was that like a 2 weeks of work or something?
No, I just didn't have a lot of additional financial responsibilities in my life.
Yeah, but now he found out about those three twins or those three kids he has over in Miami. He has to pay their tuition now for school.
Yeah, so much college expenses. And it's really gone up a whole lot.
Yeah.
Now it's your turn to give the kids money, and then they're like, oh, I bought a Star Trek Online subscription.
For a lifetime, though, Dad.
That was
lifetime.
For bucks.
Yeah. $300. Jeez Louise. But yeah, you're 9 years on, and it sounds like you got how many hours of play?
Not a lot.
I still Not think you have the worst one. It's the worst. It's the worst
one. It's the worst one.
I can't believe you guys don't have anything like this. No. Duke Nukem Forever and pre-ordering a game are not that bad.
No, they're not.
You never bought anything crazy? I also bought a Frostmourne replica sword. That wasn't a super smart decision.
No, I mean, I have a dev kit.
I don't even have it here with me. It's at my parents' house.
I have a dev kit 2 Oculus that I spent $400 on, but even that, I mean, I wouldn't feel bad about it. I got a lot of use out of it.
I did buy I bought a Vive, but we still use it, so that doesn't count.
Yeah. Turns out those things are pretty cool and worth the money.
They're kind of cool.
Expensive.
Yeah, $300 freaking. I just can't think of anything like that. I don't think I've.
It's like it's just a pure video game kicking the nuts. Like that's I feel like John. I feel like you got skunked on this one.
Maybe.
I want to say that Everin in the chat says John will have enough Zen, the in-game currency. Which what? I didn't even realize that was a currency. That's what
There's
it was called.
Currency it's called Zen. Star Trek. Zen?
Really?
To buy just about every ship in the game that he wants. So there you go. I can own any ship that I want. And really, can you put a price tag on that?
I've actually been kind of curious about that game lately. So I don't know. You should check it out. Stream what you find and see if it's even in your wheelhouse anymore.
You should check it out, Scott. And then when you all get hooked on it, I'll be flying around in some amazing ship beyond your wildest dreams. Yeah. And I'll be like, yeah, I paid for it. So.
I tried Star Trek Online. It's a turd.
Wait, when did you try it? How long ago?
I don't know. When it went free to play, I think I logged in for an hour.
Games get better over time. Yeah. And it's still, it's
making
money.
The game had already been out for a while. It just didn't play nice.
It's making money. It makes a bunch of money. Same with ESO. They're making money. Guild Wars 2 makes money. Like, it's possible to do it, but they all had to find their happy free-to-play space to do it.
Oh, is it making money? Is it like a
thing? Yeah. It's been around 10 years.
Online just did a whole Deep Space Nine update.
Yeah. Hmm. And a bunch of movie stuff injected in there.
Actually, now's the time for you to get into it, Bo, seeing as you're such a Deep Space Nine fan.
Yeah, I don't think so.
They did their latest expansion was 2018. They're about every 2 years, just like WoW is on expansions.
The thing I felt about one of the impressions I got was and I could be wrong, but it's very pastiche. Like it had a lot of concurrent timelines. Like I'm looking at the trailer here, and it looks like Discovery Klingons are in here.
They are.
You
can be those if you want. They're all right. Dude, Discovery Klingons are cool. You don't like them?
Nope. I like Discovery, but I don't like the Klingons.
Really? I thought they were badass in that.
I don't know why the movies or Discovery feel the need to change an established look of the race. Like, update it. But, like, Worf is a classic character that's beloved by many, and you just took his whole race and, like, let's change how it looks.
Okay, but hold on. Worf was a change from how Klingons looked in the original series.
Yeah, in the movies and that came before him.
But
an improving
iteration.
Yes, but your whole argument is don't change what's already been established. But in this case, they did and made it better. And you're like, yeah.
Context. Like, I'm a next generation DS9 kind of guy, like that era.
Me too.
Original series is like a test run. You know, it's good, but it doesn't count.
I mean, I agree with you. I'm just saying your argument ultimately was don't change things, and Worf is a change of things.
The original series was the beta. Deep Space Nine and Star Trek was like, it's like World of Warcraft, and then everything after that is like the bad knockoff MMOs that come out.
Oh, man.
Basically.
I like that Bo views Star Trek as original series beta, next generation release, and Deep Space Nine, their first expansion.
Yeah, yeah, it's the Burning Crusade. It was a good expansion.
So what you call it, a Cataclysm is Voyager or what?
Voyager. Yeah. I tried
Voyager
watching it. It's
definitely
rough.
Cataclysm.
I have fonder feelings of Cataclysm.
And like, honestly, I like Discovery. I just the only upsetting thing was give me the Klingons. You know, why did you feel the need to change something?
I think they're cool. I like them.
But they look like Mortal Kombat characters from NetherRealm.
Now I might be into this.
Yeah,
you got my interest.
The thing is, they kind of
how good the new Mortal Kombat looks.
It looks really good.
Oh, I've been playing Mortal Kombat, but I'm fine with the look in Mortal Kombat. I'm just saying it's not Klingons.
Well, here's what I'm saying. They explain this in the Discovery though. These are like proto Klingons, like purebred Klingon, whatever. By the time we get around to Worf and the House of Mog and Moog and all that stuff, they've all been through a bit of a genetic ringer. Is how they explain it.
So is that in the second half of the first season? I only watched the first half.
Yeah, they get into some of that. I don't know how detailed it gets, but they get into some of it. And there's some wiki stuff about it, but that's how they explain it away. I realize it's still kind of retconning, you know. So you're not totally wrong. But man, also don't forget, early Worf was like freaking Plato face. He was bad.
I know. I'm not saying they shouldn't improve it. I'm just saying it'd be like if in World of Warcraft they released an expansion and changed all the orcs to have like 15 horns on their head.
Stand upright.
And just like orcs just have 15 horns on. No, standing upright is an example of good improvement.
Yeah.
Because it's a variation on the existing like archetype.
Yeah.
But you can go too far and just be like, I'm making Bo Schwartz's orcs. And Bo Schwartz's orcs have horns on the butt. Both glutes have a giant horn coming out of them. And everyone would be like, what are you doing?
Yeah. They can't sit anywhere. Orcs. They can't use mounts because they'd kill them out with their bum horns.
Right. Yeah. And they have webbed hands.
Right.
Because, you know, everyone would be like, dude, those aren't Warcraft orcs. Like, fire that man.
Yeah.
So, in conclusion, that's why we're not spending money on gems in Heroes of the Storm.
Thank you, John.
I forgot where that started. Yeah.
I was enjoying this conversation, though.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. It might be what the show becomes if things don't go well for the game. That's all I'm saying. It might just be, hey, what other things are like Star Trek and why are they bad?
I'd love to talk about Star Trek.
Let's do a Star Trek. We're doing a Star Trek show. That's it. All right. Hey, thanks for your email there, Jason. You can send us emails at core@heroesforyou.com. And again, that voicemail line is 801-471-0462 if you are feeling inclined to leave one there. A reminder that if you like what we do here, you can spend a little money on us. Not a lot, a little. By going over to patreon.com/core show. That's the thing you can do. You can do it right now, in fact. Thank you for everyone who has and does. It means a lot to us and makes all of this stuff worth it. So please check it out, patreon.com/core show. For everything else, it's over at heroesforyou.com. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Bo, for John. See you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.